RSN 927's Talking Horses with Joe McKinnon.
Oh, predominantly winter racing down the eastern seaboard, but stakes racing in Adelaide yesterday and the Irish Oaks a stunning result overnight. Still plenty to talk about with Joe McKinnon. Good morning to you, Joe.
Good morning, Warren, and I had full respect for you yesterday braving the elements out there in the middle of the mounting yard at Flemington. It looked cold and miserable.
It was cold and miserable, Joe, but I suppose in a previous life, when I was a young fella playing footy, I was used to being out in a cold, wet situation on a Saturday afternoon. We didn't have the luxury of the good grounds we've got in footy back in the 80s here in Melbourne, so it was old home week for me out of Flemington yesterday.
Well, you did a great job, Warren, and it was a good day of racing for the depths of winter, wasn't it? With the Matt de Kock, Robbie Griffiths team unveiling a filly with VRC Oaks potential, a daughter of Sir Prancelot, bringing up his second winner as a first season sire for Cornerstone Stud in South Australia. But going to dance a lot, well, maybe they will be doing that come the springtime, the owners.
We're going to have a chat to Robbie later on in this hour, and with the link to Jane Chappell-Heim, a real international flavour to the pedigree and to the horse and the ownership. So that's terrific, and you're right, she dominated that race with Jamie Carr aboard. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if I'm Thunderstruck can emerge from that meeting and find a place somewhere in the spring. And who knows what Mike Moroney's going to do with the good fight. He can certainly stick on, and if there's any rain about during some feature races during the spring, he might be able to pinch something down from the top level.
Yeah, some really nice winners yesterday at Flemington. But going back to Gunner Dance a lot, she certainly is now stakes bound, all going well, as that race she won yesterday qualifies her for the VRC Oaks. Great initiatives, aren't they, by the Flemington team to have these staying races for the three-year-olds or older, in the case of the Melbourne Cup, preparing them for the Spring Riches. But Gunner Dance a lot, Warren, was a very cheap yearling. Jane Chappell-Heim and Emma Donnelly purchased her out of the Perth Magic Millions yearling sale for just $30,000. What a great find she was.
Absolutely. And look, great way to break your maiden, obviously, but her form tied in with Actel Gali from the Robert Hickmott stable through that race at Bendigo. And a lot of the horses in that race yesterday, Joe, they're so early in their career and getting out to that trip for the first time. It's not surprising to see maidens run well or win that race. And look, it now gives them some surety of a spot in the Oaks if that's the way they choose to go in the spring. Ultimately, in recent years, not a lot of horses have been balloted from those races, but at least it gives an opportunity for people to confirm that they've qualified and then look ahead at a greater goal in the spring.
Yes, and talking to Matt de Kock late yesterday afternoon about the filly's performance, Warren, he did say that she's now their leading light as far as three-year-old fillies go in the stable, the only horse that qualified for one of the major spring contests. And it's been the beginning of a great partnership between he and Robbie Griffiths, which no doubt you'll talk about a bit later with Robbie directly. But their first season training in partnership brought up their 15th Victorian Metropolitan winner. This is a partnership that's going to only grow in size and stature over the coming years. They bought something like 55 to 62-year-olds in the stable. So there's a lot more to come from that yard.
I think you're right. It's been a good win-win situation. I think great for Matt de Kock to have a base here and partner up with Robbie, who'd had that health issue going back just over 12 months ago. So then having the strength of the partnership probably allowed Robbie to ease back into his business in a more controlled manner, I suppose, rather than have to steer the whole ship himself. And then with the de Kock influences and connections overseas, it can only strengthen the stable's partnership and the stable's access to ownership bases, etc., for the future.
Yeah, and Matt has brought a whole wealth of international contacts to the stable who supported them during their buying spree at the yearling sales earlier this year. A lot of supporters now of the stable are South African-based owners and breeders. The ilk of Gaynor Rupert from Drakenstein Stud over there and some other really big players in the South African racing industry. So it's great for Australian racing that Matt de Kock has brought these international investors to our shores, and they're racing these horses here. So I think we'll see some really nice horses come out of that yard over the coming months and years.
Yeah, looking forward to that evolving, and I think certainly a relief as much as anything else for the connections and for the McAvoy stable with the win of Mac and Cheese in the Oaklands Plate in Adelaide yesterday. She'd been threatening to do something like that, Joe.
I'll tell you what, when I was watching the coverage yesterday, she was one of those fillies when I caught a glimpse of the parade that absolutely caught my eye. She's a really good-looking, big, leggy, liver chestnut filly with a beautiful long front, very athletic. I thought, geez, what's that horse? Oh, it's the odds-on favourite, Mac and Cheese. But then she got up and won like she did yesterday. I wasn't remotely surprised. She really ran up to her looks. But interestingly, she has been a filly that's presented the stable with some challenges in her training. Her barrier manners weren't the best yesterday. Tony McAvoy commented that he thought he had her right going into the race, but she did jack up in the gates. So hopefully that's an issue they can iron out with just race experience, hopefully. And she, of course, Warren, carries the colours of Spendthrift Farm. So an important win for that particular operation as they start to invest in quality fillies to support their stallion roster in Victoria. And Gary Cuddy from Spendthrift is our guest this morning on this Talking Horses segment. Morning, Gary.
Morning, Gary. How are you?
Really well. That was a lovely win yesterday by the filly.
Yeah, it was fantastic, obviously. As you've just touched on, she wasn't the best out of the gates, but she sort of just tacked onto the back of them quite quickly and then sort of, I think Barron made a perfect decision to take off at the 600 and get past everything, because I think he sensed that she was going good enough and he had to get past them at some point, so why not get it over and done with early?
Well, she won like the short price favourite that she was. There was plenty of faith invested in her from punters, as there was from you and the team at Spendthrift when she went through the yearling sales. You forked out $300,000 for her at the Magic Millions from the Newgate Farm draft. She's a half-sister to the Group 1 winning stallion Exceedance. So it's all before her being so well-related and running so well early in her career.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, we went there to buy fillies that were well-related that we could add to our broodmare band. And at the time, she was a half-sister to Exceedance, who'd obviously just won the Coolmore 2 months beforehand. And we obviously knew what an opinion the Hawks has had of him. And then we've been able to sit back and watch Oxley Road add a stakes win to the pedigree. And now she's done it herself to be... have the mother is three stakes winners from three foals to race is pretty nice reading on the pedigree page these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would be the plan loosely at this stage, obviously, for her to continue adding to her own page?
I think that we just sort of let the dust settle after yesterday. She's been up a while. Obviously, she had two runs earlier in the prep, which... you could nearly argue she should be undefeated, but then 6 weeks between runs, so she'll have a little break, and Tony and I'll catch up, and we'll work out what Tony's end game is with her, and then we'll work our way backwards from there, as you do when you're sort of organising spring campaigns, and just sort of see what he wants to do, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, Mac and Cheese. Now, how did she earn that name? Do you know?
Yeah, well, our president, Eric Gustafson, he told me to have a bit of fun and name some of the horses after things that my kids like. And Josh Ricks, our head of sales, he put the name Mac and Cheese forward, given that she was out of Bonnie Mac. And I thought, well, there's not much that the kids like to eat more than mac and cheese. So I thought, oh, Josh put up a... you could say it was a silly name, but I thought we'd better go with it. And yeah, I think the kids loved it. And yeah, it's gone down well, so it's great.
No doubt it will earn her more of a following out there in the public sphere. But she became the 70th stakes winner for Wynn Studs, much missed Golden Slipper winning stallion Sebring.
Yeah, I read that, so it was good. We bought a few Sebrings along the way and haven't had much luck, so it's good to finally have one that does right by us. So it's fantastic.
Morning, Mac. The final foal out of that mare sold a capitalist colt sold for just over $1 million.
Yeah, look, it was an outstanding-looking colt up there at the Easter yearling sale. So Capitalist obviously doing what he's doing at stud and the pedigree that colt had at the time, I guess, made him probably worth that. But I guess even his pedigree's improved after yesterday. So yeah, hopefully he can do the clean sweep. Mare only had four foals, so hopefully he's good enough as good as his siblings and can get a stakes win on the board for all of us.
Yeah, looks a lovely type of colt. So in general, Gary, the plans that for your racing fillies, so can we expect to see some others in the coming months gracing racetracks around Australia and running up to that sort of standard?
I hope so. Obviously, fillies, I think we've taken a bit more time with, obviously, COVID last year, we sort of just put a bit of a stop on our horses in training when we didn't know what was happening and gave them an extra bit of time in the paddock. So we're sort of a little bit behind still on that. But look, there's half a dozen fillies out of in our two-year-old crop for this season, and yeah, hopefully we can see a few more of them in the spring.
It's part, of course, of a broader and wiser plan to be able to then support your stallions on the roster with quality race-performing fillies. That's obviously the long-term agenda with this.
Yeah, so you buy fillies who have got pedigrees that are good enough to be on the roster, whether they win a race or whether they retire unraced, and you hope that we can do what we did yesterday and improve pedigrees and have stakes winners on the board. And I think the broodmare market at the moment is just flying. It's sort of, we've paid $300,000 for Bonnie Mac as a yearling, and if we were to throw her onto an English Digital or a Magic Millions online sale next week, I think we'd probably go closer to seven figures than six, which sort of shows the strength of the market for fillies of her quality now, which is obviously fantastic because we've obviously only paid $300,000 for her.
And in recent days, you've released the 2021 Stallion Brochure for Spendthrift, a very flashy online publication. Looking forward to the spring with them?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, we've got Dirty Work is an exciting first season horse. He's Byron Tycoon and he's fast and he's good looking. So we can't tick too many more boxes. But look, we're hopeful that we can go ahead with our scheduled Stallion Parade on the 13th and 14th of August, all going well, getting out of lockdown, and hopefully we're in for an exciting season.
Yeah, that is the burning question as we count down to Stallion Parade time, not just in Victoria, but certainly in the Hunter Valley as well, and the impact likely that COVID and the restrictions will have. But what is your gut feeling at this stage with Stallion Parades? I mean, I know that the pandemic is a day-to-day thing for us all to have to live with the different changes, but can you see it all going ahead at this stage?
Oh, I guess we're always hopeful, aren't we? We're pretty good at these lockdowns in Victoria. We've done five of them, so if we haven't worked out what to do yet, I think that there's people that need to have a good hard look at themselves. But I'm hopeful that we'll be okay. Obviously, what we're seeing in Sydney's getting out of hand again. But I think, as we learned when we had our big outbreak, is it has to get out of hand for it to improve, and it means that they're catching people that have got it, which is, I guess, the end game. So hopefully we can start to see a decline in Sydney, and I think we're sort of, yeah, hopefully we'll be out of our hard lockdown of the state by Tuesday down here, and then we can sort of work on a plan for the next couple of weeks, and yeah, just be hopeful that that we can stick to those dates and get people out to the farm, because it obviously is it is our favourite time of year, having people out to the farm and showing the horses off to them, because we're obviously building setting up a pretty nice farm out here in Romsey, and it's just always nice to show it off and have people out to have a look.
Yes, of course, Standing with Six Stallions, Dirty Work, Gold Standard, Omaha Beach, Overshare, Swear, and Vino Rosso. And yes, you've built and spent so much time and money and effort in developing the facilities there at the farm, the former Yalambi stud site. No doubt it's looking pretty amazing these days, and it's proven a worthwhile move investing so heavily in Victoria. The breeding scene generally there is really on fire at the moment.
Yeah, I think so. It's as we said from day one that Victoria was a place that needed a bit of love, and we were going to come in and do that and provide quality horses. And we've taken our time. We haven't had much luck to begin with, but we've stepped up the quality of horse. If you have a look at the roster, obviously, that you've just mentioned, it's far superior to the one that we started with. So hopefully in the years to come, we can continue to add the right horses to the mix, and hopefully there's a champion sire of the future in our barn already.
Well, you certainly got a handy filly on the racetrack in Mac and Cheese. Thanks for joining us on the show this morning to discuss her performance across there in Adelaide, and we look forward to seeing her back for the spring.
No worries. Thanks very much.
That's Gary Cuddy there, who runs Spendthrift Australia, Warren, who have invested so heavily in the development of their farm and building a solid stallion roster. Nice to see them get a result with that filly yesterday in Adelaide.
Absolutely, Joe, and good backstory behind the naming of Mac and Cheese, having a bit of fun with the names. I'd like to be sitting at the meetings when some of the progeny of Dirty Work comes through, and they're trying to have some fun with the names there. They mightn't quite all make the PG rating of Mac and Cheese.
Oh, I'm sure many have a lot of fun naming racehorses, don't they? But that's a name that none of us will forget in too much of a hurry, but she does look an exciting filly, and let's hope that they can iron out those issues with her at the starting gate, because they, as you well know, Warren, can't afford to be doing that sort of thing at the higher level of racing.
Talking about exciting fillies, Joe, we saw Snowfall win by some 16 lengths at Epsom when Frankie Dettori was finding the right part of the track down the outside. What about that win, the Curra, last night in the Irish Oaks?
Oh, just incredible. She became the 15th filly to complete the English-Irish Oaks double. It was another absolutely stunning performance from Snowfall. Aidan O'Brien, her trainer, describing her as a very special filly with a lot of quality. And then he also confirmed that her next target is the Yorkshire Oaks, and then they'll take it one step at a time from there. But she, of course, is a homebred for the Coolmore team, and her overall record now of 4 wins and a third from 10 starts. She's undefeated this year, so she continues to improve very sharply as she steps through these staying races for the three-year-old fillies. Of course, she's by Deep Impact, and Coolmore will stand Deep Impact's two-time Group 1 winning son, Saxon Warrior, in the Hunter Valley this spring for just over $13,000.
Looking forward to seeing that progeny evolve, Joe. And Gary Cuddy reference, we're back down here in lockdown in Victoria, and obviously the restrictions tightening in Sydney in particular. People get sick of talking COVID, but rural New South Wales had been fairly insulated from the impact. How have things been for you in the last week or so?
Oh, well, I'm steering clear of regular visits to the supermarket and all of those things, really timing my run at the moment. It really is a threat that it could seep into the regional areas, which is a real concern. So I'm down to get my first jab of Pfizer on the 27th of this month, Warren. I can't wait to get the ball rolling there and have myself all vaccinated fully by the end of next month. I think that's really going to be the only way that we can try and counteract the spread of this.
The only way we can also counteract just continually going into lockdowns, I think, Joe, too. And those of the listening that don't follow you on social media, Joe, they should track you down on Instagram, Twitter and various social media platforms. You've been out doing a bit of cattle mustering during the week.
Yeah, I helped the head stockman here a couple of mornings a week. I absolutely love it, Warren. We've got cattle here that are in what we call backgrounding paddocks. So I work with him to muster pretty large mobs in and out of those paddocks. And we also ride through them for, you know, a good couple of hours just checking for any sick cattle, which we then pull out and bring up to the yards to treat. But I've really enjoyed doing that. It's a great test of your riding skills, let me assure you. Chasing cattle at full gallop sometimes across undulating paddocks with unsteady sort of ground, but really enjoying it. I'm now thinking I might give camp drafting a shot once I build up my skills a bit more.
Looking forward to seeing that develop, Jo. Great to chat. Look forward to chatting again next week.
Thanks, Warren.
Jo McKinnon there, talking horses and embarking on a camp drafting career after doing some cattle mustering. She's having a ball living the life in rural New South Wales. Time for a break on RSN 927. Ray Thomas to take us through that meeting at Randwick yesterday after this.